You are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV. This is P alongside Ryan. If you're watching, it means you're on YouTube, and we kindly ask that you drop a like or hit that subscribe button. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, and all other podcast platforms. For those of you there, we kindly ask that you drop a like and leave a review. That's why we do this. Not really. We just do this because we like it. But here we are. We just finished week one. So we figured, right? Yeah, it was a busy. It was a crazy. I think, was it last year, the year before in our pod, we always like to consider week one and two almost like preseason games, right? Because, you know, there's a big chance to overreact to a lot of things, bad or good, right? Like if your team came out firing, which like the Buffalo Bills did, right? The Buffalo Bills, they opened up their week on Thursday. It was, you know, a statement game. The Rams were getting their rings in their home. They had The Rock doing the intro. You know, it's the Rams house and all this stuff. And on national TV, right, you get the Bills have opening the season, something like this against the Super Bowl champs. And it's like you're expecting the champs to, like, say you're not ready yet, right? And it was the opposite. Unless you're a Bills fan, you didn't really expect this outcome, 31-10. So, again, overreaction, it's easy for us to go ahead and say, well, no, the Bills, or you crowned them Super Bowl contender just based on that performance, but you kind of have to like pump the brakes. So kind of before we get into, I don't know what you want to do, if you want to kind of recap just to, what happened in the weeks, and then talk about who we feel are our, you know, who we are worried about in terms of overreacting, or who we aren't worried about. Yeah. So we should just go to week game by game real quick.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, if you watch football, you pretty sure know what happened. But
yeah,
I don't think every game needs to be talked about. We can kind of quickly speak about them and then kind of go from there.
Yeah.
And then touch on some other game.
Like, okay, so let's just talk football, right? I think I would like to hear from you. Just give me a team, a player, a performance that you saw that puts up red flags for you. Who's your red flag, first red flag of the week, for the year, that you're starting to get concerned about?
Well, I have two really quick. I mean, everybody, obviously, Trey Lance. I mean, they were in like a freaking monsoon of a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to tell, but I mean, he looked timid, inaccurate.
Do you chalk that to the climate? So. You know, because it was really bad there.
Yeah, but Justin Fields didn't look as bad either, and he was playing in the same game. So
yeah, with no receivers.
Yeah. So if we're making excuses for him, then we got to call Justin Fields an MVP, right? He's the next Josh Allen, I guess. Like everybody's been saying.
I love that.
But that game, and then the Denver Seattle game, man. All the hype, Russ Wilson coming to Denver. Oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's the next Matt Stafford. And, man, I've been saying it for a while, man. I think Russell Wilson's one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. They used to blame everything on the coaching staff in Seattle. And, I mean, it's the same old story in Denver. They need to figure something out now. Russ needs to stop holding on to the damn ball and just throw it or hand it off to Javonte or something. Because, damn, man, it's frustrating watching him play, man.
The narrative was let Russ cook, and it turns out that maybe they did let him cook. He just wasn't cooking like they wanted him.
And what happens is when he cooks, he burns the pot.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. Right? Like, that's what's happening. When you hold on for too long, man, like, he's cooking. Everything he's given us is burnt. Like,
it's crazy because when you look at the box, right, the box score, and you see his stats, you're like, okay, Russ had a decent game, but when you're watching it, it didn't feel that way. 340 yards, 29 for 40, right? 442 and a touchdown, no interceptions. It just didn't feel that way, right? It just felt like it was Russ all over again with, like, holding on to the ball too long, You do like what you see, his chemistry with his receivers for now, right? Like Judy and Cortland Sutton. So you'd like to see him get into more again, week one, right? Like this is the first time they're playing together, no preseason action together. So that red flag stays there until they kind of take it off, right? I guess is what we're going to say. But yeah, it was concerning. And I think the Seahawks, we're going to say they might not be a playoff team this year, right? Like, I don't think that's going on a limb to say that. It was a perfect storm of events, right? You don't know
what the NFL knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Putting them week one.
Week one, right? Because if it's week seven where Russ is already. One interesting thing is that I saw video of Seahawks mic'd up, and Tyler Lockett was calling out that Russell Wilson was still using the same call signs at the line that he used to use with his receivers.
Yeah, I think I heard that during the game that they were Seattle. Allowing him.
Yeah, so when he would go like this, it's go time. So that means it's a go route, right? So he did that to Cortland Sutton and Tyler Lockett was telling everybody on the sideline, including like Michael Jackson and Woolen,
mm-hmm.
Tariq Woolen, the cornerback. So he was telling them like, yo, when he does this, and they already knew. So it was kind of strange that.
Yeah. That Seattle was playing way better. Yeah.
They didn't consider that. That's a good one. What is your other, what was it, your Niners and your the Denver?
Yeah,
so that you're probably.
I'm not shocked that Green Bay lost week one because that always happens week one for them.
Feels like it.
Yeah, exactly. Besides that, everything else seems pretty normal.
Yeah,
like really, I mean, we'll talk about who impressed us, but
yeah,
everything else seemed pretty by the book.
For me, I also added the 49ers here. It's you have a team that's loaded. It's a very confusing situation for Trey Lance. You still have Jimmy G there. And normally you don't do that if you're going to give the reins to a quarterback like that. It's like you have him looking over his shoulder. Now week one, now, you know, the pundits are all talking about whether or not they should bring in Jimmy G. It's already started. I don't think that's good for him. And then somebody out there decided it was a good idea to leak a video of Trey Lance in a strip club, right? Like the guy has a personal life too. It doesn't mean he doesn't care, right? So it's like now you have these people, these evildoers that are looking for a reason to kind of throw more fire or more wood into the fire on the Trey Lance benching. And one thing I will say, and I talked to you about this before we started recording, and this is something that needs to stop, is that ever since Josh Allen has ascended to be what he is now, I feel like every single media personality out there for every single young quarterback that is kind of struggling or going through the motions or they're looking to have him improve, they're comparing him to Josh Allen. And, you know, Trey Lance, I heard somebody talk about Trey Lance, that we do need to have patience with him, but to compare him to Josh Allen's first year when Josh Allen did not have a Super Bowl team. Josh Allen had a bottom five offensive line, bottom five offense. His number one receiver was Kelvin Benjamin, who probably ate his way out of the NFL, right? So that's one thing that concerns me when we're constantly putting all these comparisons to Josh Allen. We've heard it from Daniel Jones. We've heard it from the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. These guys could all individually be great without you comparing them to Josh Allen's trajectory. And that's one thing I wanted to say. So the Niners, I do have them in my worried about them. It's week one preseason. Do we throw that away? But you don't like them going to Chicago and essentially being outplayed, right? They were very one-dimensional. It was very run heavy. I don't trust that pass game until Trey Lance can show us that we need to trust it, right? And then I'm worried about the Cowboys. I am super worried about the Cowboys. Now you're losing your QB, right? You're down to essentially one healthy wide receiver that we know of, right? And then so what about, you got Gallup banged up. You got some offensive line pieces banged up. You have an aging Zeke, right? You go into this matchup Sunday night, you're expecting to make a statement against the Buccaneers and you just get punched in the mouth. And I personally don't understand why the Cowboys are given more primetime games than a lot of other teams year to year. That's a Jerry Jones thing. But I'm worried about them losing Dak. Now they're saying, you know, Jerry Jones is saying that it's only a few weeks. But I think it's wishful thinking, especially when you start hearing beat writers talk about should they make trades to kind of acquire a Jimmy G who might be available. But I'm super concerned about the Cowboys.
Yeah, man. I mean, that joke you always hear, like, oh, that they've already been eliminated before the season started. Like, it's just ironic that the quarterback got hurt, and now it's and the Eagles look decent, even though their defense was almost gave it up versus Detroit. But Eagles were pretty impressive, man. But we'll see what happens if they can keep doing it. They played a everybody's hyped about Detroit, but I think Detroit still sucks. But
Detroit's gonna compete. They're gonna be a scrappy team.
They're going to keep getting blown out and then try to come back at the end of every game. And they're going to win some, and they're going to come up short a lot.
Because they have a lot of weapons on that offense now.
Oh, no, yeah. They just need a quarterback. Did you see today?
Jared Goff.
did you see today Lamar put out a list? I don't know if he put it out, but it leaked or whatever the hell. And he's like, yo, if the Ravens put me on the franchise tag, I'm not going to sign it. And these are three teams that he would go to. And it was Miami, Detroit, and what was the other one? Give me 1 second. It'll come to me. Miami, Detroit, and
everybody wants to go play in Miami.
I know. Miami, Detroit, and Philly. I think he said.
It can't be Philly.
Yeah, he said Philly. That was the three.
Wow. So if you're Jalen Hurts, you know, you're like, damn.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
So yeah, I mean, imagine Lamar on Detroit. Good call. That would be a little different.
Yeah, Lions, Dolphins, and Eagles. Wow. Hey, if I'm the Lions, I do everything in my power to get
them. I'm giving everything up.
Yeah, like take all the picks. Take DeAndre Swift, take Taylor Swift. So those are my two. For those of you watching, in the comment section below, let us know which teams are you worried about? Which are your red flag teams right now? Or your red flag narratives, right? It could be about a player. On the flip side, green flags, like which team or which player had a bad week that you're not necessarily worried about?
I mean, despite him like kind of making it look better, Joe Burrow coming out like he did kind of concerned me. Mm-hmm. I kept calling him trash the whole first half. Because I'm like, what is going on? Like, first off, hand it off to Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
No bias. And second, like, I just don't get it. I felt like they were trying to force, they're trying to be cute. Joe Burrow was making horrible reads. Again, not playing in the preseason. We talked about it. Like, dude, play your players in the preseason, man. Like, at least a quarter or so, because they look horrible week one. And then, I mean, how many damn upsets were there in week one? One.
There's a few.
Two. I'm counting them right now. Two. A tie. So three, four, five, six games that I can think of based off who were favorites, but like, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think that the common theme for a lot of these upsets, you know, aside from like the Broncos Seattle game, which, you know, had that Russell Wilson narrative, the 12th man in Seattle, like it was doomed to kind of be one of those.
Yeah. Games.
I think the common thing is that you have like Packers Vikings. That's a division game, right? So the Cincinnati Pittsburgh game, that's a division game. So you kind of expect, Colts Texans, it's a division game. So if there is one game the Colts are going to play up and almost win, it's week one, right? where no one's played. So it depends on whose players might maybe played the most during the preseason. And you can see the Texans probably having more players available because, you know, that they're not that much of a set roster as like the Colts are, who are vying for the division there, right? Although we always forget, weren't the Titans the number one seed last year in the AFC? Mm-hmm. Man, that goes under the radar.
They won't be this year.
They lost to the Giants week one. That was a doozy.
They should have won. The guy missed a field goal at the end. But
give me your other green flag.
That I was impressed by?
Yeah, something that happened that I'm not really worried about this person. I think they'll bounce back or they'll be okay.
Oh, you mean for a player? Let me see real quick.
Player or team? So my first one, since you already went with your first, I'm going to give you the Rams. I think you know, Allen Robinson, if you're gonna jump ship, trade him to me. I'm not gonna give you much back, but give him to me. If you're ready to jump off of that, or the Rams overall, they're gonna be fine. Again, think about how many reps they played in the preseason. A lot of that had to do with that rust. Once you start tackling, it's natural for you to kind of miss some tackles, be a little sloppy. I think the Rams are going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, mine, I'm going to say Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers coming out this week throwing five touchdown passes. Like,
that was my second thing.
Yeah, they're playing Chicago, man. They're about to annihilate Chicago, bro.
It's funny.
I'm sorry. That looked cute week one, Chicago, but welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah, and A-Rod, I think if you look at Wikipedia, he's actually part owner of the Chicago Bears, no?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he still owns them. Yeah. And it's in Green Bay, and it's Sunday Night Football.
And it's Sunday Night Football. So he's getting his de facto number one receiver back, because you see what happens when you have the unfamiliar receivers, the younger guys, Watson dropping a wide open pass. And it's not to say Watson's a bad player, it's just he's young. So A-Rod in that offense, there's a lot of complicated reads for these receivers, and A-Rod expects you to be precise. That's why he went to Devontae all those years. That's why before that he had his number one receiver. And after that, I think Alan Lazard is going to get a lot of a Tanyan, you know, having him back is going to help. But they're playing without both of their starting tackles, Bakhtiari, who I feel like Bakhtiari is always hurt, and then Jenkins. Yeah. So I'm not really worried about the Packers. I think that
I'll be straight.
Regardless of how the Vikings look, everything goes through Green Bay in that division. Is there anything else that you wanted to highlight with these matchups that happened in week one?
Nah, that's pretty much it, man. Besides the tie, those are never fun, but
I mean, your Commander's coming out 1-0. That's
barely. I had to watch Carson Wentz almost give that game up like three times, but
that's his thing, isn't it?
It ain't gonna be cute, but it'll get done.
That's his thing, though, right? It is. Carson, it's his
that's
thing.
Why I wasn't shocked. It was a couple of throws. I'm like, what is happening?
They are fun to watch, I will say that. And that defensive line looks as nasty as advertised, even without Chase Young, which, yo, there's that safety that was hitting everybody on that field. What's his name?
I have no clue. Number 20 or
28 or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah, he was blowing people up. Dude, did he blow up ETN?
Yeah, and he wasn't even supposed to play.
And he had a pick. Didn't he have a pick too?
He might have, but he wasn't even supposed to play that game.
Yeah, because Curl, our starting safety, is out. He's a rookie too, this guy.
Let me tell you something. That dude.
Yeah,
he's got it. He's got it.
Yeah, I think he should be our starting safety, and we should move Curl into
like a hybrid role where he's closer to like the block,
linebacker.
Right?
Yeah, linebacker, small linebacker.
I'm trying to get his name, man, because
for it right now.
Here we go.
Hold on.
Stands out, right? Like, it's one of those names that stands out.
Hold on.
Derek Forrest.
There you go. Forrest.
Yo.
Forrest Gump.
Yo. That man, at least for week one, I think if I were going to pin my unsung hero of the week, like one of the most impressive players I got to see last week, it was him immediately. And obviously, I have ETN on my team, right? So I'm going to watch that game and have interest in it. But it feels like that man was flying all over the field.
Yeah, and he picked the ball off to end the game.
Yeah, I'm super impressed by him. So if you can get, again,
number 22, that's what he is.
With the Commanders. The common theme the last few years since Ron Rivera's been there is if you can get any secondary, like if you can get that solidified,
especially from your safeties.
Yeah, that's going to be dangerous.
When your safeties are picking the ball off, I mean, you know, Buffalo, like,
yeah,
that helps a lot.
Big time.
They're looking to help. So we'll see week two. We played Detroit.
Yeah. One last thing, you know, the NFC West is always a tough division. But if you look at what happened with the Cardinals and Chiefs and that blowout, and the Cardinals are down to one healthy receiver, essentially. You got Zach Ertz, who's banged up. That offensive line isn't great. JJ Watt doing what he does where he's not playing. You know, that's been his career the last few years. Are you concerned with the Cardinals and the
I don't think I'm concerned because I didn't expect a lot. So
okay. You're not like one of these people that are putting them into like, oh, this is a viable contender here.
They're barely a playoff team in my opinion.
Okay.
It's just too much competition now. Like it's not because they're bad. It's just everybody else got better.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, they didn't really do much in the offseason.
No.
They didn't add no receivers. Like they lost a receiver. If anything, then they got their number one suspended. This guy Greg Dortch catching passes. Like, who the hell is that guy? He has got a cool name, but
yeah,
like who?
And then you go look at Dortch, and you know he's a returner. He's got some moves and stuff like that. But you got him who's 5'7". Yeah, and I'm not height shaming here, right? Like last person I height shame, but
he's just short.
You got him who's 5'7", 180. And you got Hollywood Brown, who's barely 5'10".
Oh,
right?
They got Hollywood. Sorry.
Yeah. So they did trade for Hollywood, but Hollywood he wasn't targeted like you expected him to.
Yeah, he caught a touchdown and it was like garbage.
Yeah. Like they went to college together. So you'd think that, you know, that, okay, I got a weapon. I'm just going to hone in on him. And it wasn't like we expected. So would Hopkins change that? I would imagine so, right? Because AJ Green was like an afterthought. He's just a body out there at this point. No disrespect, but yeah, I was I guess I didn't have those expectations for the Cardinals either. But if you're a Cardinals fan, I would.
They play the Raiders this week, man.
Oof. Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one
too.
Speaking of which, I think it's time to go to the other side. Let's talk a little bit about Lights Out, our league, and then get into a Week 2 matchup. So before we take it to the other side, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. We'll see you on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, a brief moment to recap the Lights Out Fantasy Football League. Lights Out League, where you never know what Nelson will do next.
And we're back. So, much like we've always done, after the drop, we go right into our fantasy football league. Are we gonna recap week one matchups?
We can just quick. I mean, we just talked about all the players and stuff.
The surface. I mean, maybe, we'll go to the surface.
Yeah, we can talk. That. Yeah.
Okay. So let me share my screen. Here you go. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Let me zoom in a little bit because I know that was a problem.
First off, before anything, let's just get right to it. Biggest blowout.
Yeah, let's talk about this real quick because I also the
newcomer.
I had somebody comment on this and they said it's funny how the person with the and again I will not reveal who my sources are, but the person told me it's funny how the person with the A grade in the draft had the biggest blowout. I'm not sure if that's ever happened in the league, but but God did.
Who got the biggest blowout? God did.
But yo, welcome to the league, CJ, JC.
Yeah. First dub, then that out the way.
30 plus. You know you like that.
Beating the Lord and Savior out here.
So recapping the week that was Suicide Squad, we already talked about his team being a tough team.
Yeah, he's a tough team, man. I'm not looking forward to my matchup. Our matchup is always tough.
Because it's like, you know, anyone in that lineup, you know, you got Andrews and all these guys. So
and that was light 112, but I mean that's low for a team he got.
Yeah. For me, I'm just happy I got the 98, right? Like I'm feeling my players out. You know, the story for me was Michael Thomas. You know, if he's back, then you know that makes me happy. At least that's one less part of my lineup where I have to worry about. But yeah, you know, you never like starting the year off with a loss, especially now with the new waiver format where you don't necessarily get the number one waiver, right? But what I do like is that I stayed around the 100 point mark, and we've talked about this in the past. If you're gonna lose, try to at least hit that 90 to 100 point mark.
And
you're setting yourself up for those tiebreakers.
Points matter, man. At the end of the year, tiebreakers come in, and
you can't be scoring
79 points and 78 points and expect
You want to stay away from that. Then we got HHM who got that C grade, so he said something about mayonnaise, so I think that's why he changed his picture here. You got HHM who scored 100 and beat Dead Presidents, who scored a surprising 80. I'm gonna be honest, that was surprising to me.
Yeah, that's very low, man.
Yeah, but you know, you expect that Presidents to bounce back. They always make some calculated and good moves. Isaiah Likely, he was
unlikely
to succeed and likely to fail, and it was the other one. Yeah. HHM, Kamara, Russell Wilson. I think Monday night had a decent performance fantasy wise. So it's a Judy, and he has that stack, right? So that always helps, but a nice dub there for the defending champ, a four-time champ. I have to throw that in there. He paid me to say that. but the next matchup was No Struggles, who, again, another surprise.
Struggled a lot.
I might need to change that name. So 78, you don't like that coming out of the gate. But it's week one, right? If there's one week where you can struggle like that and still set yourself up, I would say it's
that. And Nelson's team putting a respectable 102 up, man. Yeah. Like you said, that 95 plus marker, if you can consistently hit that, mm-hmm. you got a pretty good team. If you're doing 115 plus on the average, then your team is like
dominating. Yeah. So
it's just like you said, consistency. You're not going to win every week, man. Like,
no,
I've given up getting upset after losses because I'm starting to realize that sometimes you don't have to win every single week to win it all.
What did you do in that loss, and did you leave that week relatively healthy? That's it.
Yeah
Right.
And did you put the best team out that you could? Like, what was your process? If your process messed you up and forced you to lose, all right, then you got to revise your process. If not, then hey, sometimes you just get beat, man. Like, that's just what happens.
Yeah
Everybody has players, right? Like,
I think the best teacher and the most humbling experience for me, and why my name is what it is, because it's not just humble pie I'm dishing out. It's humble pie I was eating myself when I went 0-6.
And still made the playoffs. And I mean, no pat on the back.
Yo, like, I went 0-6 and I said, okay, like you said, am I leaving points on the bench? Am I leaving points out there on the waivers, that the players that I know I should be picking up? Am I being overly aggressive on the waivers, making moves just to outmaneuver the next guy instead of making moves that are going to help my team? So those are things that I started doing, and I'm carrying it a little bit into this year, and I lost. That's fine, right? Like, it's not fine. I don't want to lose, but again, though, what we talked about, did I hit the 95 plus? Okay, yes. Did I leave points on the bench? No, right? So I walk away like, you know what, I'm on to next week. I'm on to the next
what
week.
Else could you have done? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, exactly. The next matchup, but shout out to Nelson. I think his team, especially with Daryl Henderson taking that RB1 role, now you're looking at him, and I think he's trolling people by having Derrick Henry in his flex. Now you're looking at Daryl Henderson. His RB2 is Cordero, who now, you know, he's the only healthy running back there. And then you have a rookie behind him, and then a converted defensive back behind him, right? So he's going to get a bulk of the carries. Now you look at that running back trio, along with a Josh Allen. That looks like a good team. That looks like a team that throughout the year, obviously, health notwithstanding, right? Like, you need them to be healthy, and that's it. But the next matchup is TB12's last dance, losing to you, right? Like, you score 113 and you beat every other person in the league except for you, the one matchup he played. So
before, man. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's what you called hang with him, right? Like, you gotta hang with him. Like, don't change your process. Obviously, your team looks like it's gonna score a lot of points. So you know, with that, you just, you know, tip your cap and move on to the next week, because you know you're bringing at least 100 plus points with you, and that's good.
Yeah, if I get 100, I mean, I'm not expecting my team to put up 126 by any stretch of the imagination, but like you said, if I can consistently put up 100, getting these extra 26 points is just giving me that cushion. So when I do have those 88 and 90 point weeks, that, I mean, I have some cushion. So
yeah,
these big weeks help, man.
Yeah, you know, the stack that you got with Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yeah, when that's on, it's on.
More often than not, is going to be on. That's going to be the red zone a guy for him, right? So, you know, he's always going to be around the end zone. He's always going to be getting touches around there. So that's a nice stack. That's a nice way to kind of set your lineup up. Keyword stack. I feel like that a lot of people have started implementing that in the last few years. Cat's out of the bag. We got the next match. Anything else on that matchup?
Nah, I mean, just glad I won, man.
Yeah,
that's it. And that first one is tough.
It is. It kind of feels good starting off 1-0, no?
And to score and know you would have beat every single body, that feels really good too.
Yeah. Because then so anybody
It's not a matchup thing. It's a dominant thing.
Everybody else that talks shit, you're like, yo, I would have beat you too. So, the next matchup, Dr. Kevorkian, he says, and funny thing, it's kind of foreshadowing for what's happening next week. And you know, I don't even get into the name yet, but that shooter against the whole show, a disappointing show. Can I get my money back on that?
Yeah, no season.
Yeah. The whole show is just 84 points. You don't like that coming out of the gate. 111 for Dr. Kevorkian. And Shooter, he set up his team. I think for the most part, Shooter's been a three running back guy. He's got a pretty good rotation there too, right? With guys on his bench like Singletary, guys that were like the forgotten people, like Rashad Penny. He has a good combination of people that he can play with at that flex and kind of keep his two main running backs there. So we'll see what happens throughout the year, but that's a team to watch. Obviously he's definitely doing his research. I think he did more mock drafts than anybody combined in the league. He was telling us. So, and you know, he's going to be prepared, which that's what I like about Shooter. So a nice win, you know, whole show, we expect you to bounce back at some point. And then on to our last matchup, which is our A plus draft guy. God did.
Biggest blowout. We talked about it.
Yeah, biggest blowout. CJ, again, welcome to the league. It's a nice dub. But hope none of your running backs get hurt, because I'm not seeing too much depth back there. Najee, he right? Like, Najee's already kind of going through the motions. So let's go on to now week two. We've talked about the past. Let's move on, right? Do you want me to drill into these matchups at all? Kind of highlight.
For our league?
Yeah.
I mean.
Or you want to keep it like this?
If anything, we can kind of see who's playing each other. And next week, we can talk about how it transpired.
We'll drill into the matchup.
Because there's only so much that we can talk about. It's predictions. So we don't really have anything to talk about until the games happen.
Yeah. You're going to see some scores there. I think I will highlight that, it's just time has not really allowed us to kind of link our schedules to get it before the Thursday game is played. But what we will commit to is not talking too much about what happened on Thursday. We're just going to look at the scores as is. We're going to look at who's playing each other, figure out where the narratives are, whether it's a losing team, a defeated team facing an undefeated team. That's kind of how we're going to do this going forward. First matchup, they showed me, obviously, and I played God Did.
You better break bread with God or break pie.
A little pie, man. Either I eat it or he gonna eat it. But you know, anytime I face Pudi, I feel like it's a tough one. Especially how Pudi's been coming out the last few years. I expect nothing but like a tough matchup. I remember years ago I went in up by like 40 on a matchup against him, and I forgot who he had at running back. And his running back ended up like putting up a ridiculous amount of touchdowns, and I barely squeaked out a win against him. Or I'll beat him like on a Monday night by like a fraction of a point. Like, it's always going down to the wire with him, and I don't expect anything less in this matchup, regardless of what's happened. So, but we're both 0-1, right? So that's another thing. Like, one of us needs a win in this matchup. Yeah,
somebody's got to win.
We're still not reaching must-win territory. And if you need to look back at anybody, you look back at me and you look back at HHM, we both have had defeated seasons where we haven't won, and we've managed to bounce back. I think still no panic button for anyone. On to the next matchup. We have a 1-0 team against an 0-1 team. HHM against TB12's Last Dance.
It should be a good matchup, man. I mean, 6-7. They played each other last week. TB12 would have won, so.
Right. I mean, he would have.
It could have been reversed. Yeah, it could have been reversed. But, he's looking for redemption. His team put up a fight last week, man. I was sweating. Good luck facing Jefferson and Saquon Barkley. That's all I gotta say.
Yo.
Because I was sweating bullets this whole second half of those games. Thanks, shout out to Mahomes and Kelsey, because that's the only reason I won.
Yeah, Saquon and Jefferson. And Jefferson, man, in that O'Connell offense, looks like he can have a Cooper Kupp plus year this year if he can stay healthy. And if Kirk Cousins stay healthy, I think that's important too. But that should be a good matchup. I, you know, prediction wise, I don't know. I do know that this is going to be a good one. Russ, we need Russ to come kind of bounce back, right?
Yeah, go to Cortland Sutton.
Cortland, and I think HHM is going to need him to throw it to Judy. So throw it to your wide receivers. Yeah. On to the next matchup. We got an 0-1 team against a 1-0 team, your team.
1 versus 12.
Yeah. So no strong. It's funny, right? Week one, because if you lose, that can knock you off. I mean, you have the points, right? So it won't knock you too far down, but it's funny how you can go from like first to like, and it seems like this league does that every year, right? Even later on in the weeks where you can be first and lose and get knocked down to like sixth or seventh. But yeah, that matchup, I think that the key there to highlight for No Struggles is he lost Dak Prescott. What is he going to do at the quarterback position going forward? What was his plan, right? Because his plan was Dak. And what are his running backs going to do to kind of bounce back there? So that's something to look at there. And for you, obviously you got that Mahomes and Kelce stack, but what is Cortland Sutton going to do this year, right? Like, can he show a little bit more than the usage that he showed last week? And I think everybody from Broncos country is kind of like, you know, hoping that, because Cortland Sutton was looking good.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of people out this week too. I have like 3 or 4 people out in my.
You're gonna have to get creative.
I'm literally just trying to put a team together. I just need to get 90 points, man. I won't be shocked if Will beat me. He has a really good team. Mm-hmm. He just definitely underperformed. I mean, when you got Jonathan Taylor, I'm just praying this man doesn't put up more than 30. Like, if he puts up 20, I will be happy with that. But it's just the rest of his team. We got to see what happens. So if I beat Will this week, it's, again, because his team underperformed. I don't think it's because my team did really well, because I'm already starting behind the gate with a lower Mahomes and Kelce game.
I have a question for you and everyone watching here from the league. And it's not the pick on Pudi, but I have to mention it. Will we look at the end of the year and say that Pudi's biggest mistake this year was taking Eckler first?
Are you saying we're going to be saying that?
I'm asking you. Is
I mean, that, I don't know. He's scored more case. Points. He scored more points than the guy who had Taylor, so.
Yeah.
Like, is Taylor? I mean, I definitely wouldn't have took Eckler number one. That's my personal opinion. But I mean, there's still too much football left to make that assumption that it was bad. Again, people are overreacting right now. It looks bad, but it's week two, man. Like,
it's funny because I, you know, you we always talk about how. Eckler is so into fantasy football. I didn't know that he even like joins in on the Yahoo podcast.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So I like that about him, right? I do like that anytime they're around the red zone, it's Eckler that's in there. They do make a conscious effort to feed him the ball. My answer right now is to be determined, because I don't know. I would take Taylor or CMC, but that's neither here nor there. I just figured, you know, so answers below in the comment section. Let us know. What do you think? The next matchup is Dead Presidents against CJ. And CJ with Lamar. Najee Harris is a little banged up, so can he make it 2-0? And Dead Presidents, you know, starting 0-2 isn't the end of the world, but you'd like to beat the new guy. Who's gonna be the first person to beat the new guy? Because you know that I was just gonna say that beginner's luck for some reason carries people into like the championship game or something like that. So I don't want to have to look back on this pod and say I was right about that.
Come on.
No offense to you, CJ. You're my boy.
I want everybody to be 1-1 after this week.
Yeah. Except me. Except you. The next one is Suicide Squad. And this is a good one, Dr. Kevorkian. So
two undefeated teams.
Yeah. So this is a good one. It'll even out the standings. I love that. Suicide Squad's team is just built. Get into that too much, but he must have. Who did you pay? Who's your source? But Dr. Kevorkian. So the reason that he mentioned this, that every year he changes his name to Dr. Kevorkian when he plays the Suicide Squad because of the whole suicide thing and Dr. Kevorkian. So yeah, so I guess the bat shooter is playing his strategy where he kind of tailors his name to his opponent. We'll see what happens in this matchup, but that's one that I'm anxiously watching this Sunday. And then the last one, we got a surprising one, and no, not surprising in the Rodriguez with Mr. Nelson household, but surprising all of us. He's got a solid, we talked about his team already. What is the show going to do this week to kind of...
He needs to show up. Show up, first off.
Show up. Don't get shown up. Get show up.
I mean, Nelson, not for nothing, I know we always joke about Nelson, but hey, Nelson's team is kind of scary right now.
It's
kind of scary, man.
When you got Josh.
John's team is decent too, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's hard. Not that my team is that much more impressive, but shit, I'm scared to play Nelson too. I ain't going to hold you.
It's funny.
He just has a lot of upside on this team. And if it goes off, it's a lot, man.
It's funny because I look at, I always, every day I like flip-flop. I'm like, oh, this team is really good, right? And then I go to the next person's team the next day. I'm like, damn, actually, low-key, this team is good. I find myself doing that this year so much with all of the teams, right? Like, I'll go to your team. I'll be like, yeah, this might be the most stacked team. Then I'll go to Suicide Squad and like, nah, this might be the most stacked team. Then I'll even go to Dead Presidents, for instance, and I'll say, man, the way he built this team, this is a pretty stacked team, right? And I've done that pretty much with all of the teams this year. And I like that. That means we're finally getting that parity that we wanted in this league, right? And everyone's kind of making each other better as a result. The one thing I won't do is go over rules or anything like that. We had our first waiver with the Fab. We introduced Fab this year, so it was fun to see what people bid on things. Kind of gives you a lot of people out here dishing out the peso. it was fun to see. But that's yet another thing that kind of adds to the strategy and the competitive edge. Standings. I'm gonna go into the standings real quick. This is it. We got you up top with Suicide Squad. So the playoffs, if it started today, it would be you, Suicide Squad, Shooter, CJ, the new guy. Oh, Nelson, who would be in the playoffs for the first time since, I think the last time he was in the playoffs, he went to the championship game. Yeah, so, you know, it'd be Nelson. And then obviously HHM. I feel like we should only, like, acknowledge 5 playoff spots every year. This facts. Freaking guy, and even you, right? Like,
yeah, I think me and him are the only two teams that made the playoffs every single year.
Every single year, we did that spreadsheet. We might have to update it this year, but yeah, no except surprise.
He just wins championships. I don't. That's not my team's name.
Hey, man, hey,
I'm the second best. That's why I got a trophy right there. I got a medal.
Runner up. Hey, man, it could happen. Yeah, so, and then we got the rest of the losers here, us losers, kid and loser, we're going
one game back.
But you already see, like, the moves are being made, baby.
Yeah, God did his he's not praying, he's spending.
That's what we have for Lights Out League. It's I don't expect anything less than what I've seen. Super competitive.
Fun.
And any game, any matchup, it just feels like anybody can win, and that's what I like. You want to get into week 2?
Yeah, we can go through these. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time with every single game because
we'll just highlight
the
here.
The games that are look like going to be blowout, I'm like, let's get off on them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those this week, or at least I think.
We had the Thursday game just passed. We won't talk about the outcome, but we will talk about the fact that it was Chiefs and Chargers. So that a divisional matchup, Chiefs with the ability to kind of just say, we're going to go with this wide receiver by committee, and we don't care who likes it because everybody could score in our team. And our wide receiver 1 is our tight end anyway. And then you got Herbert, who, if you want to insert yourself in that conversation with the top quarterbacks in the league, you got to beat Patty Mahomes. So are you going to do it? So that's one of the narratives there. And then we have week two is the Dolphins and Ravens. That's a good matchup.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
It's in Baltimore too. So
yeah, Baltimore with their home openers, historically, they just crush teams. So with the Dolphins, the way they looked, what's going to happen? Tua under pressure. Tua made some ridiculously bad throws last week under pressure, which is like status quo for him. But Waddle looked good. Tyreek Hill looked good. You know, that system, you'd imagine as they play it, it's only going to get better. So that's an interesting game there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year those two teams played. I just want to touch on real quick. This that game that Miami was blitzing Lamar Jackson like all game, and he was looking horrible. And I think the Dolphins ended up beating him like 22-10 or something like that.
Wow.
And yeah, they were just like almost not zero blitzing, I don't think, but pretty much just trying to fill every rushing lane that Lamar had. Oh, one last thing. You know what surprised me the most about Lamar? How little he was running.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He didn't run at all, man. I was shocked.
Now, do you think it's because he has that contract? Or he has that contract situation looming, and he's going to put himself at risk. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Something to monitor.
Yeah.
But if you take Lamar's. Fantasy players. Yeah, if you take Lamar's legs away fantasy-wise, you know, he's. Where does he stack
up? He's a little less valuable.
Yeah. Something to watch. I like that game. You got the Jets at Browns. Not really much there that I really care too much about. You know, you
Browns
still
should take black care of business.
Yeah, the Browns should take care of business there, especially that dominant offensive line.
Yeah, Nick Chubb about to put up 200 rushing yards.
Chubb and Kareem Hunt going to go in and catch all the touchdowns. That's the thing about Chubb, man. It feels like he gets it close and he's winded, so he comes out the game and Hunt will get that dump off and like take it in for the touchdown from like the 15-yard line or some shit like that. He's always like that. The next game, Commanders and Lions. In Detroit.
This is the first game since I forgot when that the Lions are favored.
Wow, what is the
their favorite? It's a -1. So it's a pick'em.
But... it's a pick'em. Yeah.
And it's pretty much because they're home. But this is the first time since I forgot the actual date, but a long time that they've been favored in a game. Vegas wise. Wow. So okay. We'll see, man. No bias. I mean, I hope that Washington wins, but we'll see what happens. Last week, and not to hype up my man Gibson, but last week the Eagles ran all over the line. So
yeah,
all they have to do is just run the ball versus the Lions. I think their linebackers aren't just going to be fast enough to be able to keep up with the speed we have. But I don't even think we're going to have to throw the ball versus them, honestly.
That's something to look at. Is that 35 points they scored against the Eagle, is that meaningful? And that's something to look at week to week with the Lions, right? Because you know they're going to be in the game somehow. But what does that mean? Does that mean that they're blown out and then they just throw themselves back in the game? Because that's a little bit different, right? Or are they going to be trading punches with the Commanders? But I'm big on Campbell and how he has that team playing, so...
Yeah,
we'll see. It should be a good game. Yeah, it should be a good one. It feels like the Commanders always play games like that too, where it's like you think that they're dead to rights and they make it a game at that. They were doing that with Heineke yesterday. Mm-hmm. On to the next one is Colts Jaguars, a division game. The Colts with a tie.
And the Jaguars, not for nothing, man. They look pretty impressive, man. I saw that whole game because they played my Washington team, but they look pretty impressive, man. Trevor Lawrence was looking all right. The running backs was looking good. Defense wasn't amazing, but it held it down. So I mean, the Colts, they haven't beat Jacksonville in the last, I forgot how many games. Let me pull it up. Hold on.
It's those.
It's another stat that I saw. That was
those damn division games, man. Those division games. Yeah. You gotta like add a different element to it. It always does. But that should be an interesting game to watch, only because. Matt Ryan, he didn't really play how you expected him. You got him no Pittman this week. He's down both of his weapons, right? I think because Alec what's his last name? The rookie?
Pierce.
Alec Pierce is dealing with a concussion protocol, so he's not playing. So you're down to their back, Paris Campbell and, you know, company, whoever they are. So maybe expect a lot of Nyheim Hines and Taylor in this game.
You want a crazy stat? The last 10 games, Jacksonville is 1-9. Who do you think they beat?
The Colts?
Yep.
Those damn division games, man.
At home. They don't lose at home, man, to the Colts.
Those
they won the last 3 years versus the Colts at home.
Speaking of division games, we got the Buccaneers and Saints. You got Tom Brady going to New Orleans, where Tom Brady hates playing there. For some reason, they have his number. Although, that defensive back from the Saints that I was always chirping at Tom Brady.
Gardner he's on the Eagles now.
He's with the Eagles now. So was he the X factor in that matchup? Another thing to note is the traveling cornerbacks. Mike Evans historically has done terrible against Lattimore. Yeah, historically. So that's something to look at. I think that I heard his last few games, I don't think he's gone over 10 fantasy points in any of them. So something to watch there.
What a Julio.
Yeah. And another thing about the Bucs, man, they're going to need Julio because their wide receivers are banged up. Godwin's out. Gage is dealing with like a hamstring. I think he's playing this week, but it's Tom Brady. You know, if Julio played like he did last week, Tom Brady's going to use him this week.
Yeah, I know. They were targeting him. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
In the StatCast era, I heard that he ran the fastest.
A couple of years. Yeah.
Out of the slot or something like that. That was pretty impressive, Julio.
Panthers and Giants.
I mean, yeah, Panthers.
People only watching this for CMC and Saquon Barkley. I don't think anybody else cares about this game.
That's essentially the only reason to watch, right?
Yeah, and the Giants again are favored by one, a pick 'em.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dable. What does Dable do for his?
He was pretty impressive, man. Going for two, I got to give him credit, man. That was pretty ballsy.
He got cojones. Mm-hmm. Then we got the Patriots at Steelers, man. Mac Jones is dealing with like back spasms.
And the Steelers, even though they lost
TJ.
Yeah, that defense is ferocious.
Very.
And at home, oh, man. I don't know. You might start 0-2.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. That genius moniker that's thrown around at Bill Belichick. Look at the team players he's drafted the last few years. Look at his record without Tom Brady historically. And look at Tom Brady's record without him. Good. So you Patriots fans that became Patriots fans like from 2002 and on, y'all might be in for a long life. Y'all might be in for a long, long
life. Look at me. That.
This might be a long next 20 years for y'all.
Yeah, I can deal with it. Y'all can deal with it. Y'all have had a good run.
That's the benefits of enjoying all those championships. But man, you about to learn the hard way. On to the next one. The Falcons at the Rams. This might be the worst time to go play in LA right now because what's the spread on that one?
Minus 10.
Oof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're gonna cover that easy.
Annihilate them, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the over under on that?
Don't have it right here. Hold on, let me see. It's probably like 48, if I'm guessing. Over. Oh, hold on. It's not showing me here. Oh, I can pull it up here. Hold on, my bad.
It's okay.
Over under is loading. The over-under's loading. Oh, 46.5. That's pretty low.
Yeah, it is pretty low. LA's going to dominate this game.
Yeah.
And if there's any different, we'll be here next week to talk about it. Another division game, Seahawks and the Niners. Seahawks is surprising 1-0. The Niners is surprising 0-1, we could say. Coming off a disappointing performance against the Bears. Trey Lance, I see you making it rain over there in the strip club. You need to make it rain out there on the football field. Because unfortunately, you are looking over your shoulder. A team
somehow the Niners are favored by 9.
They should be. They should be. Don't overreact to what happened in week one. We know the Seahawks aren't as good, don't have as much talent as the Niners. But a division game, if there's a game for the Seahawks to start 2-0 and kind of sneak in, it would be this one, right? let's see how they bounce back. You can expect, okay, Eli Mitchell, the story is that he has a knee injury. He's on the shelf. Who is going to be the running back? Who's going to fill that void? I think if you look at what happened at the end of last year, you can expect that wide back role kind of to resurface. Expect some Jordan Mason until someone owns it, right? Jeff Wilson right now is the de facto with Debo and then, you know, the other rookies. Who's going to take it? Because you also see that the Niners signed Marlon Mack to the practice squad. So he's waiting just in case everybody else disappoints. I still think that it's going to be Jeff Wilson when it's short yardage, goal line situations, and it's going to be a creative Debo and a combination of like Jordan Mason and TDP. But something to watch there, because you know the Niners backfield is always something valuable in fantasy. The next matchup, Bengals and Cowboys.
They're going to destroy the Cowboys.
Yeah, they should. It's
Cooper
gonna
Rush
be
is
Cooper
not
Rush. Yeah, it's going to be Cooper Rush. The Cowboys have already said that they're not making a deal for a quarterback. And even though they're talking about Dak coming back after week 4, I think it's going to be longer. But Bengals get back off the schneid here. They have a long snapper, I imagine, so they can kick some field goals. But yeah, we can see the Bengals. Oh, and the Jamar Chase and Trayvon Diggs. I don't know if you've seen that. There's been kind of like there was an interview there where they asked him about Trayvon Diggs, and he was honest. He said, you know, when he's on, he's on, when he's off, like he kind of like was snarking at like his game a little bit. But when you're as good as Chase is, right, like you can kind of talk your shit and back it up. So
yeah.
You like seeing that. The game after that is a Texans with a tie, no loss yet, against the Broncos, the 0-1 Broncos home opener for the year. You got to get back in the win column.
Favorite by 10.
Yeah, I totally see that. Texans, although they are a very feisty team, and they were that last year with Lovie Smith, they'll probably still be that. But the story there is Davis Mills. Going to Mile High and playing out there in Denver, which is always tough to play. Their defense is super feisty. You know they're going to come out inspired. So I expect a blowout on this one. Then we got the Cardinals and Raiders. The Cardinals, who had a very underwhelming performance last week. It's looking like scary hours there until Hopkins comes. J.J. Watt, will he play? The Raiders lost to the Chargers, so... you need to bounce back at home, right? Although, you know, your Davante Adams acquisition looks real good. Looks amazing.
I mean, he had, like 17 targets. I feel like Carr always does that with, like, his one. He over-targets them, and then it goes back to, like, normal. But,
yeah,
I mean, Arizona looked horrible versus Mahomes and the Chiefs last week. So, I mean, either they made an adjustment or this is going to be another big game for Carr and the Raiders.
Yeah. And then we have the Aaron Rodgers Bowl.
Packers are going to destroy the Bears.
What is the spread there?
Minus 10. There's a lot of minus 10s.
Yeah, minus 10, huh? I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm not sure that they cover that, but they will win.
I think this game's going to be like 34 to like 14.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what I think will happen?
A lot better than they showed week one. It's just Jefferson's so good, man.
You know what I think will happen? I think the Bears will score the first touchdown, and the Packers are going to rip off like 21 unanswered.
Yeah.
Or 28 unanswered or something like
that.
We'll
see next week.
Yeah. So that's
double Monday night game.
Yeah, we love that, especially when the Bills are opening their Buffalo season in against the Titans, who last year Josh Allen slips at the one and he didn't get that on fourth down or whatever.
They always play well.
Yeah, they do.
This defense is a little. This team's a little different than last year's team. I mean, you guys are favored, not a shocker, by 10 again. Like, they have a lot of teams favored by 10.
Do what y'all did the last 2 years in Tennessee against us. Do that this year. And you will, and you will have earned my respect, Tennessee. But this is the year that the Bills have to exercise all demons. Music City Miracle, we exercising it on Monday in front of everybody. And I don't expect them to take any mercy. And Derrick Henry, if you look at the last few years, he has stiff-armed a Buffalo Bill into next year. He did that a few years ago, and he did that last year. We're not seeing that this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Just, I mean, I'm a big Bills fan.
Yeah, should win, but, I mean, y'all can't get sloppy. I had a lot of turnovers last game.
Yeah.
And y'all still won by 21. You just got to keep it clean. You know Tennessee's going to try to run the ball and keep it out of your hands. So.
Yeah. To me, get the game script so that it's out of Derrick Henry's hands.
Yeah, force Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball.
Force Tannehill to throw the ball.
He doesn't have nobody to throw to.
No, that's a very young core, and then Robert Woods is your number one. That's concerned. Yeah.
This Monday night game, this Eagles Vikings game, that low key is one of the most exciting games of the week.
That might be the game of the week to me.
Yeah, this is gonna be crazy. They're gonna score for an insane amount of points.
Yeah, I like this matchup. What is that one on in Vegas?
Over 50.5, and they got the Eagles favored by -2 or -2.5, depending on where.
A big test for the Vikings, right? If you want to show that you're real, you got to win a tough game on the road. And the Eagles are exactly that. So what is that? What are you going to do? You know, are you going to be up for the challenge? O'Connell first year with the team, you want to make a statement. You beat the Eagles in the link, right? Like, you go and beat the Eagles the way they looked last week too. The Eagles gave up 35 points to the Lions. I'm gonna venture to say that the Vikings offense is better than the Lions offense. I don't know if I'm going too far out on the limb there, Ryan.
Yeah.
So the difference here is that whereas the Packers run game clearly suffered by not having their two starting offensive tackles, suffered a little bit. The Eagles run game looked in mid-season form, no matter who's in there. So they're going to bring that part, that element. Jalen Hurts, are you going to continue to be, decisive, making throws? What kind of Jalen Hurts shows up this week? So that's interesting. It's a really good primetime game. That's what we have for our slate of games. Mm-hmm. Another exciting week. I can't wait for Sundays. It's like I feel like it just didn't come here soon enough.
Then it comes and it goes really fast.
It comes and then and then you get like that little bit of a headache at the end of a Sunday where you're like, damn, I literally just sat here and watched football all day.
And it hurts even more if your team is losing.
Yeah, it does. It does hurt a little bit.
Team leads and your real team.
Yeah, you know what?
Last week, so it was a little easier to wake up on Monday.
What helps soften the blow is when you're with like the Buffalo Bills, the week they had. I like, man, nothing is gonna get me down the way we started. So yeah, we definitely need to keep that going. Only difference is I have to wait for the Bills on Monday, so I have to hear the Dolphins fans talking shit if they beat the Ravens, because clearly Tua is on the same level as Josh.
MVP.
Josh threw a ball running 21 miles an hour. That was the fastest anyone was ever clocked throwing a ball over 50 yards. And they're still talking about how it was under the Dolphins fans are talking about how it was underthrown, like two of us.
I know we're not talking about the Thursday night game that just passed, but did you see that throw Mahomes made to McKinnon? Like,
yeah, that like only he, Lamar, very few guys use that arm slot. Very few guys. Anything else before we close it out? I think it's a great week.
Nah, that's pretty much it, man. I'm ready for football, and we'll be back next week, man.
Yeah, all right. So you heard the man, everybody. For
drop Ryan. Drop a comment below. Yeah, man. Drop a like if you like this. Subscribe if you're enjoying it. If not, man, F y'all.
Okay.
Like, no, it's not that serious
for you anyway.
If not, we'll be here next week.
Yeah, we'll be here anyway. For Ryan, I'm P, and that's the Fantasy Standard.